like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, the NFL owners are not set to vote on the Washington Commanders sale during their meetings next week in Minnesota, according to a league official saying this morning, actually. But Dan and Tanya Snyder reached a purchase and sale agreement for the Commanders with a group led by Philadelphia 76ers and New Jersey Devils co-owner Josh Harris on Friday. The Snyders, who first announced their intention to sell in November, agreed to sell the team for $6.05 billion. What did the Broncos get it for? Or what did the Walton Penner Group get the Broncos for?
$4.6 billion.
The Broncos got a steal. The Commanders, or the not the Broncos, the Walton Penner Group got a steal. The Commanders are yielding $6 billion. The Broncos are at this stage for at least the last 20 years or 30 more popular than the Commanders, and they got it for $4 billion. Snyder's got away with $6 billion for the team. Is that going to be the end of the Snyders once this is done? Dan Snyder, or are we still waiting for that looming piece of information that he has on the NFL? The dirt, perhaps, that he has on the NFL. Says he knows something, but he maybe getting him out of the league, hey, $6 billion doesn't hurt either. The Pac-12 will provide enhanced in-game and pre-game access during broadcasts of college football games this fall, including a game in-game head coach interviews and having select coaches and players wear mics during pregame activities. It was announced on Thursday. In-game interview? What is this, the XFL? What is... Gimmicky. Gimmicky alert. Gimmick alert.
Why do I feel like this was a prime thing?
First thing that went through my mind when I was reading this morning.
I'm telling you, this is not going well.
Oh, you didn't see Primetime's big, gigantic
pickup
truck?
Oh, no, I saw it. I saw it from Kansas.
Yeah, can that fit in Boulder?
Like, fit on the mountain
can
in Boulder.
Can it both literally and figuratively fit in Boulder?
I don't know if that thing can fit on just a normal road.
Where do you park that thing?
Like, Boulder's already a cramped place around campus. Like,
I wouldn't want to drive that around. My car is getting looked at today for something. It's a recall. It's probably going to blow up if I don't get it fixed. One of those kind of deals. So I'm driving my father-in-law's F-150. And I'm a farm kid. I used to drive bigger rigs than that, but that was the last time I did that was like a 17. And driving that bad boy around, I feel like I'm in a semi compared to what I normally drive. You drove a pickup yesterday. You drove Brian's pickup. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than your car.
It is.
Do you feel weird?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You're a little up higher, see the road a little bit more.
Imagine what prime time's like. It's like he's in a freaking rig.
It's a tank.
It's ginormous. It's bigger than what Russell Wilson pulled in. The first day of practice last year.
Now we're comparing car sizes.
Whose was... Well, yeah, this will be weird. College football. In-game head coach interviews. You think they're going to be happy to do that?
Like they most, already don't like the halftime interviews.
They don't like halftime interviews or post-game interviews.
You try to put a mic on Saban, you might get an assault charge.
Oh, my goodness. How about Jimmy Butler? Last night, the Heat, we were wrong, Angel. We both picked the Celtics. Jimmy Butler. And I know a lot of us Nuggets fans are complaining about the lack of coverage for Joker. And Jimmy Butler's getting his flowers now. But is Jimmy Butler, before this playoffs began, was he the most underrated player in the league?
I mean, maybe.
Or was it Joker still?
I think it's still, regular season, I think it's Joker.
That's a good poll question.
That's not to take away Jimmy's talent. He's obviously incredible, and in the playoffs, he takes it to a new level. I didn't hear much from Miami during the regular season. They're an eighth seed.
They were a play-in team. So Jimmy Butler averaged 23 points per game, 6 rebounds per game and 5 assists per game.
Very solid.
Those are like almost Jamal Murray numbers, though. Isn't that what Jamal did? I mean, that's pretty much what he averaged. So that's, to be fair, he's underrated because he just kind of put up. I mean, again, what were Jamal's averages this year? He had to be in the 20s, right? I would imagine he was. But that's a good reason as to why you were underrated.
24-6.
See, Jamal averaged more points per game than Jimmy Butler. And he averaged, that was 6 assists per game? That's what he got?
Yep.
How many rebounds?
4.
I mean, about the same numbers if you average it all out, if you balance it out. About the same guy. Or is that what he's averaging in the playoffs? Because I thought
he was
in the
season stats.
Oh, really?
Right at 20 points. Four rebounds, six assists.
Okay, so Jimmy's a little better. But still, those numbers are about the same. 3-point difference there. Jamal averages one more assist than Jimmy Butler in the season, one less rebound, 3 less points, very similar numbers. That might be why. Stickman, is Draymond and Dixon on the same page with hating on Gordon? Well, Dixon texted in earlier and said, Draymond and I had a little chat about Aaron Gordon last night. So the ones that are like in the anti-Aaron Gordon bus, is your solution the same as Draymond Green's? Give Jeff Green more minutes? It's a Green thing, isn't it? It's a Green thing because they have the same last name. He's trying to push for him.
Going back to Jamal, his postseason averages, 26.3 points, 5.2 rebounds, 6.3 assists.
Yeah, but Jimmy Butler's numbers through the playoffs are outrageous, aren't they?
Yes.
Like he's making a bigger name for himself. But
the focus isn't on Jamal Murray on this team. It's Jokic.
True.
Jimmy Butler is the Miami Heat.
Yeah, he really is. He's by far their best player. But still, the reason he's underrated is because those are numbers we don't talk about. They aren't that big of numbers. 23 points and 5 and 5, that's not... Those are fine numbers, but not for superstars.
So you're saying he's overrated?
That Jimmy Butler is?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what angle you're taking here.
I'm saying he's underrated because those are numbers that aren't valuable. You think he's one of the most...
I'm just trying to figure out what the point is here. Jimmy Butler...
Do you think Jimmy Butler is underrated?
No.
Oh, you don't?
I don't think
so.
Well,
a lot of people would disagree with you because nobody talked about Jimmy Butler being a top player in the league at all this year.
Well, they were an 8 seed.
The point I'm making is that those regular season numbers that he's averaging are not rated numbers.
Right.
We aren't valued. So he's not necessarily underrated based on what he did this season. Mm-hmm. What he's doing in the playoffs is fantastic, but I keep hearing that, you know, Jimmy Butler's very underrated, and maybe so, but those numbers are pedestrian for a best player on the team.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I was just trying to figure out what take you were going with. He's being called underrated now, but when you look at his stats in the regular season, it was pretty average.
Jamal Murray numbers.
Right.
Essentially Jamal Murray numbers. So... Yeah, you're doing it in the playoffs, which is important. But where was Miami all year? Why was Miami just a play-in team? It's because, well, and also because Jimmy Butler wasn't putting on these kind of numbers.
Right.
He's doing it in the playoffs now, where he's absolutely shining. Good for him. But it's what's strange to me is he's a hell of a player. Can you believe he's been playing since 2011? Isn't that wild? He's been in the league a long time.
The Bulls to start. It was supposed to be him and Rose and was it Joakim Noah?
Mm-hmm.
That was like their little crew.
So he averaged 23 points per game in the regular season. He's averaging 31 in the postseason now for Miami. He turned it on last year too. He averaged 27. I actually am walking it back, Angel. I don't think he's overrated at all. Or underrated, excuse me. I don't think Jimmy Butler is underrated. I think he's becoming a playoff player But he's just a guy. Not just a guy. He's a little better than a guy.
His stats
He's Jamal Murray in the regular season.
His stats are pretty average in the regular season for his position, and he turns it on in the playoffs.
Look at his averages. He's never averaged more than 24 points a game in his career. And he only touched 23.9 once. The rest was 21, 22, 20. Those are Jamal Murray numbers, dude. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Jimmy Butler is this underrated guy. In the playoffs, though, he's turned it on and he's getting coverage. But he didn't get coverage before because those were just very pedestrian numbers for your said superstar. Like, if those were Joker's numbers, he wouldn't be in the MVP conversation. But those are our second best player's numbers. So Jimmy Butler is putting together, in the regular season, the second best player's numbers. And in the playoffs, he's shining. Michael Malone said the Lakers versus Jokic strategy is nothing new. Big thing is being made of the Nuggets going back and watching film. Like, this morning on SportsCenter, that's the one thing they were giving the Nuggets, is that, oh, they've been going back and watching film. Yeah, they're a real basketball team. They go back and watch film. We actually have those rooms here. I haven't seen them, but they're in Denver. They're in their facilities. They have film rooms. And they're going back and they're analyzing this and they're studying it. Seriously, that's the angle that ESPN is taking with the Nuggets. That, oh, they saw that Hachimura was playing well against Nikola Jokic. So they're going to go back to the film and watch it. Like, that's their story. That's their angle on the Nuggets. Not Joker. Not the fact that they won game one, but that they desperately need to get back in the film room and figure out what the Lakers did to slow them down.
The Lakers, they don't need to watch film?
Probably not.
They don't need
not.
To watch why they gave up 72 points in the first half?
Well, the narrative's driving me insane from Lakers fan. Like, well, the Nuggets played a perfect game. And
no,
still barely won. Not in the second half. Not in the fourth quarter.
The take that, oh, the Nuggets are not going to shoot like that again is ridiculous because you haven't watched this team all year. They do this 4 out of 5 games a week. This is Nuggets basketball at its best. They will blow you out with their defense, with their energy, with their transition offense. And with their shooters and Nikola Jokic. That's peak Nuggets.
It goes back to the discussion that we're having of the national media. Like, I'm not trying to be that complaint, whiny Nuggets fan. I just think it's bizarre that the narratives around this team are like, they played a perfect game and still almost lost. That's not their perfect game. Joker had to have, somebody this morning said, Joker, it took a historic night for Nikola Jokic, and they still barely won. Like that, no. The Nuggets were handling this team 90% of the way through. They let their guard down. The Hachimura matchup did befuddle Nikola Jokic and Michael Malone for a moment, but not enough for them to say, let's change it.
Too late in the game to really warrant an adjustment, because if we're talking like the Lakers showed their hand early, why would Michael Malone again counter that with his own hand early instead of give me a day to really plan this out so when you do throw it at us tonight we're ready for it?
Yeah, and again, maybe Michael Malone's not as good at the in-game adjustments as he is between game adjustments.
I think his in-game adjustments are not drastic enough for us to notice, but it's things like Gordon being on the bench for another minute or two in the third quarter when you probably should have put him back in. It's very slight adjustments that you don't notice until you look at the box score and compare it to previous games.
Well, yeah, in the NBA, a lot of times it's the obvious adjustments that we talk about and we applaud or we make fun of. And like the Lakers made an obvious adjustment. Anthony Davis, you're no longer guarding Nikola Jokic one-on-one. We're going to put Hachimura in there, and he's going to guard you, and then Anthony Davis is going to act as a free safety.
Well, what no one's talking about is, okay, what if that doesn't work? If you start the game with that adjustment in mind...
Does he start tonight?
I don't know. The Lakers have a serious decision to make here. If you put out that three-guard lineup again to start this game, that's worrying. if you put Rui out to start the game, the Nuggets are going to be ready for that adjustment early. What is your backup plan?
So would he start?
Is it Vanderbilt?
I'm guessing he'd start for Schroeder then.
Okay.
Or Schroeder. Schroeder it.
So when AD needs to take his rest and Rui needs to take a rest,
yeah, you go,
you're going to throw out Vanderbilt and Schroeder or on your bench with Reeves?
Stagger. You'd probably stagger like the Nuggets have done. So you'd probably take one of them out a little bit earlier, and then by the time you let, you know, you either, like Anthony Davis, he played, what, 40 minutes in this game? I don't know. That's going to be interesting.
If
like,
they
do
have,
you stagger the two? If you do decide to start Hachimura in this, do you stagger the two?
If they put Vanderbilt and Rui on the floor together, they don't have the size.
Mm-mm. Well, Anthony Davis should be in every time Joker is in.
Right.
Like, that's, whether he's guarding him one-on-one or not, you want him disrupting the paint. So if you, when you take Joker out, then if you are bringing Davis out and Hachimura, then that's when Aaron Gordon, if you do, if Michael Malone decides to stagger his bench or his rotation a little bit when he takes Joker out, but he's going to leave Gordon in to end the first and start the second, and then you bring him out after like 2 or 3 minutes.
You stagger him with Green. You do Jokic, Gordon, Gordon, Green. And then you do Jokic Green. That way you always have your big men on the floor. At least two of them. And Michael Porter's
I'm telling you, man, the Lakers don't have the horses in this thing.
They're putting so much emphasis on this one adjustment.
Why are we talking about a backup power forward too? Like that's what you got? That's the plan? Your backup power forward? And I know he'd probably be a starter, but they run a different offense. They run two point guards out there and another guard with Reeves. But that's the big adjustment. Joker will eat this up tonight.
What happens if they start Rui and he gets two fouls in the first 5 minutes?
Then there goes that game plan.
Now, let's throw Vanderbilt in there and just run the same thing with that.
Vanderbilt, the only thing I've ever seen him do, again, he's a former Nugget, but when he was with Minnesota, he had that one game. Remember, he goes off for like, he had like 12 rebounds, but the Nuggets still won the game.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like the most fearful I've ever been of him.
Jokic isn't afraid of any one of these guys. There's respect for AD for sure. Jokic is not afraid of Rui and Vanderbilt.
Well, that's my tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is, are you concerned about the potential matchup in Game 2 with Rui and Nikola? Are you concerned about it at all?
No.
I'm not concerned about it. I'm very intrigued because what I believe will happen is that Nikola Jokic torches this and they go back to, okay, no, Anthony Davis, you're back on him. But there's a chance that suddenly you get a little... You get this guy gets some confidence and finds a way to defend it. I've just never seen... Nobody has really ever consistently defended Nikola Jokic to the point where we were concerned.
It's one thing to start guarding Jokic in the second half of a game when he's already had a great first half and he's a little tired. It's one thing to like, okay, yeah, I can body this guy late in the fourth because he's a big body, he's tired. If you do that to start the game, Jokic is going to come out firing, he's going to punch you in the chest, and you're going to feel that first hit. I go back to the bubble. We mentioned it before game one. When they tried this with Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard, they did the same thing where Davis was floating and Howard was just go be physical with Jokic. MPJ and Bruce Brown talked to the press yesterday and they brought up what the Timberwolves did and what the Philadelphia 76ers did earlier this year with Rudy Gobert and Joel Embiid. They did the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and they're also looking back because wasn't it Looney still last year for Golden State?
Mm-hmm.
To try put Looney on Joker or whoever and keep Draymond Green as a free agent in the paint. And that worked, but Joker had no help.
Right.
He didn't have two of his biggest threats.
If you think that Jokic and Malone have not studied this adjustment for the last 3 years since the bubble, you need to pay attention.
No, they studied it and they didn't need to pull it out. Until they needed to pull it out.
And they're not going to pull it out at the end of game
one. They were down 2-0 to start the game, and then that was it. So why fix it? You're still winning the game. Why have a massive adjustment if you think you can sneak on out of here without showing your hand?
You don't make an adjustment like that late in the fourth.
Not if you're winning. No. If the Lakers came all the way back and got up by five, you might say operation, you know, panic time.
Well, Malone and the players are telling you, yeah, we know what they're going to do, and we're prepared to attack it. We know what they're going to do. They know it. And they're not going to show it in game one. They're going to come out in game two and see if the Lakers do it. And if they do, all right, here's the trap.
6 hours away. I love this every other night thing. You just don't have to wait very long.
For a team full of 27-year-olds? Yes.
And well, and it's going to get that altitude, man. See, a lot of Lakers fans are like, oh, that was the best the Nuggets could do, and we barely lost. No, I think that was the Lakers' best shot. I really feel like they wanted desperately to win that game, and they threw the kitchen sink at the Nuggets, and it didn't work.
Another thing that I found out yesterday, so the ice underneath the court, it's been melted since the Avs are done. So no longer are you playing. There's not a giant slab of ice in the arena that's cooling it down, even just a little bit. Now you're playing in some humidity, and you're playing at altitude.
Did the court go over the ice?
It does.
So now they're going to have to lower the rims, right? Because the court's not as high as it was.
I don't think so. I think it's all leveled.
Okay.
It's like it's the sheet of ice, and then they put plywood on top, and then the court.
So
it's all leveled.
Okay,
but
good.
Now there's no ice.
Because I was like, why can nobody dunk in this game? The rim's like 12 feet off the floor now. Little things to worry about. Dixon says, maybe it's just me, but I could care less about not getting flowers from national media. It probably works in our favor. We don't really need people telling us how great we are. Would rather have the chip on the shoulder and Joker give everybody the biggest middle finger when he wins finals MVP.
Why let? Don't let him jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. They're really not. They're still not. They're not jumping on it. They're still saying things like, I've never even seen who he is. Who is he? Nikola, what?
They're talking about them because they are in the Western Conference Finals. It's because they are the team playing the Lakers.
Going up against the Lakers. Just absolutely. It's not. I'm not mad by it. I'm just.
It's almost kind of funny.
It's funny, but it's almost like a. Oh, yeah, it is kind of funny, isn't it? That's Heath, right? Jack? No. That was a good one. You know what's funny about the Joker thing? Does he own that, you think? Does he own it? Like, does he accept
the nickname,
he's the Joker based off of a character? I mean, it's not based off of him. It's just the way the name sounds, and then it became the Joker. You see all the memes and the GIFs. They're amazing.
Of Jokic, and he's a funny guy. He likes to joke
around. He is. He's not like, ha, 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 laugh, but he does kind
of
fit.
He's got a sly sense of humor.
He fits the Joker.
He does.
He fits that, which I think is really interesting because he didn't always.
Scary.
It was, oh, yeah.
He's like, I don't know if you're being serious. Like, a couple weeks ago when he poked fun at Shaq, that's a fun little just.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then KCP saying that the only difference between LeBron and Joker is that LeBron can jump, and Joker's like, that's very offensive. He's like, no, I'm just messing. But he still didn't crack a smile. When he broke the microphone, that was one of the best. His eyes, dude. I'm not mad necessarily at the media.
Just disappointed.
Just annoyed. Kind of like, how dare you? You get paid for this. And you just come out and say, I just
sound foolish.
It sounds silly. It sounds silly. 29 minutes after the hour, we got to take a break here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The boys of summer are back. Hear Rockies baseball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank a great friend of mine, and that's Ryan Hicks at Renaissance Insurance Group. Renaissance Insurance Group was formed by two UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago. It means they know what they're doing. And they're great at committing to the community and getting having your back, the university's back, local entities throughout the area. But more importantly, they're going to help you with your insurance needs, risk management, commercial and personal insurance for Weld County. They're also the go-to for farming operations. Check them out, Renaissance Insurance, with my guy Ryan Hicks, 970-674-8825. That's 970-674-8825. 33 minutes after the hour, the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is available at theholeshow.com. Are you concerned about the Hachimura and Nicole? Why can I not say his name? Is it Hachimura or Hachimura?
Hachi.
Hachimura.
It's Japanese.
Rui Hachimura.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got to admit, I didn't watch this guy all year.
I didn't either.
But apparently he's...
Apparently he's the greatest defender since Anthony Davis. He's a backup. Isn't actually that... Maybe not a great defender.
See, that's okay if you admit that you didn't watch him play all year. You can't admit
that you
didn't...
Of course they watched the Lakers all year.
But you can't admit that you didn't watch the two-time MVP play all year. Like, that's just... That's unacceptable. If I'm a boss at ESPN, I'm sitting her down saying, what the hell are you doing? Make sure you follow... But they don't care.
They don't.
They don't care. They want that. They want Lakers. They know the Lakers move the needle. So they're going to say, yeah, that's fine. You didn't watch the Nuggets, whatever.
Whether you like the Lakers or whether you don't, it moves the needle.
It does. It absolutely does. And the NBA knows that. Is that why Tony Brothers is going to be the official tonight for the Nuggets-Lakers game 2? 34 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Tell you about our friends over at Shields. We're going to be bringing in a golf expert next week, Angel. So you're going to have to tune in. You're going to need this because we know you are going to beat Tanner Schwint in a game of golf this year. It's going to happen. Take some notes from our friends at Shields. They're bringing their golf pro, their specialist in.
Nice.
They can help you out. But Shields is great, man. They have everything. My family loves Shields. I was a fan of theirs before I had a kid, and now my kid's obsessed with it. It's not even just the Lego store. He loves everything. Everything that they have over there, Shields, in Johnstown, right off of Highway 34 before you get to I-25. 1239 the time. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Well, the latest on the Denver Broncos, they're spending money, dude. They are putting it out there. Of course, we know they agreed to a 10-year partnership with Centura Health. They were with UC Health, right? Now they've agreed to a 10-year partnership, making Centura Health the official name of the training facility, right? And now a big-time partner of the franchise. Broncos president Damani Leach didn't provide the financial parameters of the partnership, but called it the most impactful deal in team history. The length is significant. It's one single partnership, and we feel comfortable that it's one of the most significant across the league. So they got that done. They also unveiled a field-level premium club as part of Empower Field upgrades. It's called the Breckenridge Bourbon Club. It's more than 9,000 square feet and is the first space of its kind at the stadium. It kind of sounds like what Coors Field is doing. Maybe the Broncos are taking some notes on that. Like, hey, Dick Monfort's never very good. We think we're going to be good, but the Rockies are never very good. Yet they still get a lot of people there enjoying their product, enjoying their stadium, their ballpark. What if we had a good team, which we're working on, but we also had that? Mix it together. I mean, if you could make Coors Field the hangout, if you could make Empower Field the hangout that Coors Field is, and then actually add some success to that, and it being the Broncos, you've got a freaking weekend, man. You've got something else set up. They unveiled the first field-level club space at Empower Field. It's a key element of the franchise's ongoing $100 million plus upgrade to the stadium this offseason. So does it seem like the new stadium is now a distant dream? Because if you put $100 million in upgrades, that means you're probably going to try to live with this thing for a while. I don't know. But anyway, the Breckenridge Bourbon Club. Sounds fancy, doesn't it? I'm off to the Bourbon Club. checks in at 9,000 square feet. It's located where the old Stadium Club was. See, that sounds trashy. I'm a Stadium Club member? Yes, but I'm a Bourbon Club member. See, it's classier. Used to be on the east side of the stadium. It gives those who purchase a membership access to all-inclusive food and beverages and dedicated parking and stadium entrance. Broncos Vice President of Ticketing, Sales, and Service Mark Jackson, not that one, told the Post that the idea of the club is that it's essentially its own season ticket package. It will be offered as an upgrade first to existing 100-level season ticket holders and then made available as an option more widely. Here's the quote. The seats are in the lower bowl on the east sideline between sections 120 and 126, so they're fantastic seats. That's what Jackson said. Now we've married them with this amazing game day experience as well, with the Breckenridge Bourbon Club being on field level and on the east side. It's a very short trek from the club to your seats. It's all come together really well, and we're really excited about it. Well, how about that, man? I mean, that's a good thing. You've got the Walton Penner Group really trying to update the fan experience, make everything about it just a little bit better. You know, unique destinations, different experiences. I think that that's a great thing that the Broncos are doing, and you're seeing them put money back trying to help the fans, make it a better experience. And I don't know how much it costs to get into it. I'm guessing it's quite a bit to get into this room. We got to try to get down there, Angel. Make it happen. Make some connections. Other off-season elements that they're going to be upgrading include a video board that is more than 70% bigger than the previous version, a new team store, and refurbished seats. The projects are still on target to be completed by the time Denver hosts the Rams in its preseason finale on August 26th. Well, we also know the preseason schedule. They didn't do a release schedule party for that or show for that. August 11th at Arizona, August 19th at San Fran, and August 26th will be their one and only home game in the preseason against the Rams. Also yesterday, they signed all of their rookie contracts, got that taken care of. So feels like the Broncos are figuring stuff out, man. Now, can they put it all together on the field? That's the big question mark. Think Russ is there tonight? Russell Wilson, he brought Justin Simmons, and I don't remember who else he brought. DJ Jones. He was sitting in between those two guys. Think he shows up? Big Russ Wilson going to come out and watch the Nuggets take care of the Lakers tonight?
Maybe. Those tickets are like $25,000.
Wow. That's insane. Well, he's been to, he was at the last home game for the Nuggets Suns, wasn't he? Wasn't that to him and where him and Sean Payton were talking the whole time? Maybe. Or Payton was talking to Russ the whole time? Which was what everything we heard was that Russ was the one annoying Sean Payton. But it was really Sean Payton that was like talking Russell Wilson's ear off. Mysterio says, got to spend money to make money. Well, yeah, I mean, if you make that everybody likes to go to Broncos games just to watch the Broncos. But now if you start adding a bunch of different elements to it, you make it an experience. What do you got back there?
Just looking at ticket prices for the game tonight.
What are nosebleed seats?
A single one-person ticket. This is the cheapest one. Upper level, 345, row SRO, 187. Absolute nosebleeds go from anywhere from 205 to 315.
So about $200 for the cheapest?
Yeah.
Dang. That's not worth it. I mean, it's cool to be there, but you're not...
I sat in the upper deck for the Suns game a couple of years ago, and that was fine. I've sat up in that section before, and it's fairly good vantage point, but like up in the back rows of the nosebleeds, that's not fun.
Did you see like the whole section that they left empty there? They showed that on, I think it was like 9 News I was watching, and it was a bunch of sections were just empty. Nobody was sitting there. It was for media, but Lisa Salters didn't show up. She doesn't watch him, so I think it was for a lot of connection stuff too.
So, man, that screws over some fans, right? How many seats was that? 50 or so?
A decent section, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's a lot of people that don't get to come watch the Nuggets play. 12:46 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. When we come back, let's keep getting into this game, too. What are the biggest adjustments the Nuggets really do need to make? And what do you think that counterpunch looks like when Rui Hachimura is playing up on Nikola Jokic and Anthony Davis is acting as a free agent or free safety? If that's, in fact, what they do, how do the Nuggets combat that? What might that look like? Also, how do they fix the Jamal Murray, LeBron James mismatch situation? That's another one they need to be paying attention to. We'll be right back. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Is your current internet provider a pain in the asterisk? That's what it did there, Angel. I'm here to help you, and for your information, it is easy to fiber your internet. Go to allofiber.com/FYI and see for yourself just how easy it is to experience the Allo Fiber difference. That's allofiber.com/FYI. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So, what do we see the Nuggets doing? Let's assume that the Lakers do put Hachimura to start this game. They go a little bit bigger than they're known to go, and they put him on Nikola Jokic to start this. Anthony Davis acts as more of a free safety, roaming around the paint to make sure he can be a shot blocker there. What's the counter? What is that? Is it Aaron Gordon clearing out of the paint a little bit more so it's not too crowded down there? Playing maybe perhaps above Nikola Jokic? Keeping cross lanes underneath the hoop open as well? What do you see there? That's kind of what I see.
Yeah, I see probably a mixture of all of those. I would put Gordon in kind of a dunker's position. I've been seeing that thrown around the last 48 hours.
It's a guy that just hangs out.
Put him around the paint a little bit, because you don't want to crowd the paint with bodies, because you got to have room to make passes and drives.
Yeah.
So if you know Davis is going to be shadowing Gordon a little bit more, I said this in game one, you have to pull Davis out of the paint. If you can pull him out of the paint and you know Rui's still there, you still have to worry about LeBron closing, but that still opens up the paint. It makes it a threat if you start driving and attacking the rim like they did in game one. Then you find your outside shooters. You find Jamal, you find KCP, you find MPJ. Those guys are primed for a big game if the Lakers approach it with the floating defense.
It's just interesting because, you know, yeah, that dunker's position thing with Aaron Gordon is interesting to me because, again, Anthony Davis is the biggest dude out there, right? So he's going to take up a lot of space. And with Hachimura on Joker, that's going to take a lot of space, and then Joker's in there. You got three guys probably in the paint, maybe at any given time. That's where Aaron Gordon really is going to have to keep his head on a swivel in this game. Like, I think the guy, I'm not saying Joker's the star. He's going to score a lot of points and do his thing. I would be very, and I know our boy Dixon's after Aaron Gordon, I think Gordon's going to be the key tonight. He's got to be very crafty in how he does this, because Davis is going to try to stop both he and Joker in that paint, because he's going to play off of Gordon. Gordon has to be so freaking smart tonight. He can't clog the lane. He can't make it too crowded in there, but he also has to be ready for quick passes, go in and get those dunks, maybe get the and-ones if Anthony Gordon's playing as that free safety.
I could see Gordon going for 25 points tonight.
I could too. Yeah. Yep.
If Jokic is going to be getting that much attention on defense, and whether it's just Rui one-on-one or if Davis is floating over to double team, there's going to be passes available.
It's just how do you know that's what they're going over right now. Yeah, because what you say, yes, the three-point shooting, that's going to have to be ready. Because there's going to be somebody will be open, essentially. So that's going to be the no-brainer for Porter and KCP to be ready to hit
those
shots.
Not just standing around,
no,
but moving, yep, because you're taking your defender with you and getting them tired.
Maybe a little triangle offense tonight for the Nuggets. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool.
But making them move on defense, making the Lakers have to work at altitude.
I'm curious to see how can you do it for a full game? If that's the plan, to do what you did in those last few minutes, can you do it in the entire game?
I don't think you can approach it like that.
I don't think Hachimura starts.
It may start like that, it may not. But that matchup is going to happen. The Nuggets are saying they're prepared for it. MPJ, Bruce, even Malone are saying, yeah, we're ready for that.
I think that they're going to go with the same starting lineup, the Lakers.
D'Lo?
Mm-hmm. Well, you going to start Lonnie?
Maybe. I don't know.
But then your bench is hurt.
Their bench is going to suffer however they do it, the bench is going to be a critical point in this
game. I think they stay the course.
If they go big to start, that bench is small.
I think they stay exactly what they did with Davis, with James, with Schroeder, whatever, Russell and Reeves. I think that's where they'll go. And then as soon as we get into this for about 4 or 5 minutes and maybe Joker's just completely running the table on Anthony Davis, you get a little sub action in and you do put your big man in. You do put Hachimura in over a Russell kind of guy. I'll be curious to see the lineups and how they work this. I really will. This is what the playoffs are all about, is making adjustments or talking about making adjustments and then actually not making adjustments. But I do think that Aaron Gordon might be key tonight. If that's how they want to play Nikola Jokic, I absolutely do. But Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, is going to join me at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts. He didn't get a chance to hear. He just texted me. He's like, anything stand out with the Nico Medved thing? Not necessarily. I thought he talked pretty positive about Isaiah Stevens. And to me, it sounds, if you're reading between the lines, that he could be back. We'll discuss with Kevin on the other side. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.